Welcome to Merchman Seat's Cup of Joe. On this episode, hear about new, innovative products and practices we're keeping an eye on to better advise you in the future to maintain yield potential. Dylan plans to strip-till his farm this year. Hear how he'll implement this practice to hit his yield goal. Ben and Dylan plan to continue tissue sampling this year. How will this research pay off when it comes to yield?
Welcome to Merchman Seat's Cup of Joe. Today we have Avery and Dylan, and today we're going to discuss a product or a practice that we're going to kind of be keeping an eye on, some things that are coming in the future, things that are fairly innovative that as agronomists, as sales managers, as seedsmen, we're kind of keeping an eye on to help advise some of our customers in the future. So Avery, you have some paperwork sitting in front of you. What is one practice or product that you're going to be keeping an eye on?
Yeah. Micronutrients, biologicals became a big thing here in the marketplace, and I've had some growers and dealers have some success with some planter box products. And, you know, I want to get my own skin in the game, and so this year on my family farm, we're going to try two different products that start at planting. They're an 80-20 talc blend with some micronutrients and other fun stuff in there. So one product is coming from the Meristem company, and then one product is Stride Bio. And both of them have similar compounds on when it comes to the micronutrients, but then when it gets into the biologicals or the microbes, that's where I think they separate themselves of their company focus. And so both products are very exciting for the corn and soybean products or systems. And, you know, if as a farmer that I don't have starter on my planter, maybe this might be the easy way for me to see some of the response that a starter fertilizer would have, is placing it on the seed and being a very timely and efficient product, not slowing down on the end of the fields, having to fill my tanks full of starter fertilizer. Just as simple, I'm already putting the 80-20 talc in the planter for flowability on the seed. So this might be a very efficient and easy product to use, and I'm really excited to see both on the Meristem, the soybean product called Hopper Throttle Soybean Planter Box Treatment, as well as the corn is Hopper Throttle corn product, but then the Stride Bio, it's a very base product that can be used either on corn or soybeans. So I'm going to run quite a bit of acres, and I'm going to just treat each box with the product and, you know, just see overall yield response.
Yeah, I think that's key, because, you know, when both of these companies or this style of product have been in and talked with us, most soybean planters don't have starter. And soybeans, especially if we're pushing them for early planting, I'm really curious to see what you end up coming up with, because when you're pushing early planting, that seems to be when some of the starter, you know, pays off, or you really see a huge advantage when that plant's under stress, when you have all the nutrients right there that plant needs. So
yeah,
that's for sure. That's gonna be a fun one to watch. I'll be really curious to see what results can pop out this fall.
Yeah, and I mean, just, you know, coming up with my hypothesis and all that, definitely on the soybeans is where I want to focus, being Merchman Seeds and the soybean. And what I kind of might give the Meristem product maybe a leg up, because it's got an inoculant in there. And as you think of Merchman Seeds Starting Line Plus, that's the one thing that we don't have because of shelf life and all that. And so for me to add an inoculant, add some zinc, add some manganese, and both products have it, but then have that inoculant, I mean, that's just our missing component in our seed treatment that we can't, you know, that we don't have. And so I'm really, really excited to see the response of that.
Yeah, and for any of our viewers that are interested in knowing why we don't inoculate the seed, is because there are products that make the claim out in the marketplace that they say they have 120 or 240 day shelf life. They have these extenders that push the longevity of the spores of the Brady Rhizobia inoculant that you're talking about there, that helps with basically nitrogen fixation for the soybean plant. But the efficacy is something that when you put it into a liquid solution and you have to put it on the plant, and the, you know, we start treating beans here in September, and when you have to wait till potentially May, June, July the following year, you know, I just don't know that there's enough, I just don't think that there's enough there's enough efficacy out there. I haven't found the right product yet. So yes, I'm a really big proponent. We last year on all the Mershman ground, we used the old school peat inoculant because I'm that big of a believer in needing inoculant to push for the super high yields.
And I had one question before we move on to Dylan or whatever is, you know, we always are pushing soybean planting earlier on in the season, you know, temperatures are cooler, all that on the soil. Do you think as a grower, you know, my planting season is going to be prolonged, and so I'm going to be planting at different dates or different weeks. Do you think it'd be reliable or, you know, to look at early planting, you know, May planting, mid-May planting, stuff like that? Do you think these products would have a different response due to planting date or soil temperature?
Yes, I truly do, because I think that the Stride Bio and both of these style of products are just like our Trepidity. I mean, it's kind of the similar concept behind it is that you're aiding that plant in stress. So whatever that you can do and help that plant mitigate stress, you're going to see benefit from it. There's not near as much stress in May. There's a lot more stress when you're either too cold, too wet, too dry, too hot, whatever that combination is. But when you go back and you're planting earlier, you're more likely than not going to be putting that plant under stress. So I would assume side by side, you're going to see a difference in early planting conditions rather than May planting conditions when the beans blow out of the ground.
Yep. Well, I'm excited about these trials that I'm going to do. You know, I'll have a planting date treatment mm-hmm. or response as well as a, you know, seed treatment or talc replacement product. So really excited about that.
Perfect. Dylan, what are you keeping your eye on this week?
Yeah, so it's like strip till is becoming a lot more popular in today's world. It seems like there's a lot more people thinking about it or kind of gossiping around. So on our own farm, we went the strip till route this year in the fall. And so then I'm going to track strip-till ground on corn and then compare it to conventional. We've got a little bit of side-by-side comparisons that we're going to do to see if we can maximize our yield with the strip-till with all that fertility being right there in that band for the corn to take up. So
oh, very good. So how did you choose your rate? Did you lower your rate? Did you pick a yield goal and go off of that? Some guys like to do like an 80% if they're in strip till compared to the conventional. Some guys think that putting as much into that strip as you possibly need. What were you thinking about when you were making that implement change?
So for this first year, this being the first year strip till, we went the same rate that we would broadcast. Then we'll see how it responds for this year, and then we'll hopefully back it down in the future when we get better utilization of all those nutrients. But we set a yield goal that we wanted to try to accomplish, and if we keep feeding it with everything possible that we want to try and what we want to do, then hopefully we can hit that yield goal or go above and keep going ahead with the strip-till practice.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good videos. One of my favorite ones about strip-till that really kind of keyed me in was the one from the Precision Technical Institute, or the PTI farm. Jason Webster has some really good data on strip till, and I think his highest return on investment was like an 80% or a 50%. So you're going to continue to mine those nutrients out, but you're also being more efficient with where you put them. So yeah, no, strip till is, especially around here, we're getting more and more people that are kind of getting into that frame of mind and trying to be as efficient with fertilizer as they possibly can. So Avery's getting fertilizer put in with his seed treatment. You're getting fertilizer put down in the fall ahead of the planter and strips. And one of the things that I'm going to be paying close attention to is the project that Dylan's probably going to be working on again this year. And we are going to follow tissue sampling. So I have taken a handful of questions in the past 2 or 3 weeks about guys questioning whether the foliar products, the stuff that you'd put in at a V5 fungicide time frame or a VT fungicide time frame, you know, what is this going to pay if I put this foliar product in, foliar nutrition product? And I have a real hard time giving guys advice on what to put in or if to put anything in at all if you don't have at least 3 or 4 weeks of of tissue results. So what, you know, we're going to practice what we preach here. Dylan, and if Dylan doesn't have time to do it, I'll go out and do them on Monday morning every week as we go through, and we're going to pull the leaves off the corn plants, the leaves off the soybean plants, and we're going to watch what we're deficient in. And we have some different nutrient trials this year, so there's adds another layer of complexion, a difference, I guess, there in things that we can measure. So on one of the farms that is strip-tilled, we have a double rate versus a standard. On another farm that is strip-tilled, we have a double rate versus the standard. So we're going to see if we can boost those low K levels that Dylan presented on in a previous Cup of Joe way back. Seems like a long time ago. At the end of fall last year. So that's what I'm paying attention to. That's what I encourage all of our listeners to pay attention to, is go out and do some tissue sample. I mean, it's completely worth it. And while you're out there, pull a couple soil samples throughout the year, whether it be, you know, right when you get started or closer to the V5 time frame. Get some nitrate tests pulled while you're out there in those fields. And make some smart nitrogen placement decisions as well, because we're not staring at $5 corn or $7 corn anymore, you know. So let's make some wise decisions that direction, and listen to what the plant's telling us. So that was actually kind of funny. I think I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about being raised by hippies. You got to sit there and listen to the plant. You got to have the plant listen to you. You got to listen to what the plant's telling you. So that's going to wrap us up. And Avery has the fun of getting us out of here with a couple corny jokes. So take it away, Avery.
Yeah, wish me luck. You know, basketball season is upon us, and it's about to wrap up finally. And our Iowa girls are in the Final Four, so we're really, really excited about that. And so I got some basketball jokes for you. So what does a basketball player say when he misses?
No idea.
Shoot. All right. Why do basketball players eat donuts? Because they like to dunk them. And my last one. What is a pirate's favorite type of basketball shot? The jump hook. Or the hook shot. So.
You might be back on next week.
I don't know about that.
No, that sounds good. Okay. Thank everybody I'd like to thank everybody for listening in, and we will see you next week. I hope we have a safe and productive week this coming week.